When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. With your hosts, Joe Bond and AJ Appleton.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. You can tell it's been a while. I forgot the overlay. Thank you, producer Mike. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. AJ Appelgarth. What's up, man?
Hi, friends. What's up?
Ready to talk some baseball?
No.
No?
I mean, you've been planning, actually
it's
planning.
Opening day, bro. Opening day.
Opening day for us.
Hell for baseball.
So today we're going to be covering some of the free agent, the signings, the trades, kind of doing a little bit of lessons learned from last year, especially with those new rules, kind of see what actually took place. We had a lot of guesses. So we're going to do that. But AJ, actually, man, hang on. I think I'm forgetting somebody. It's baseball season. What are we doing, man?
I'm back. Oh.
You just had to do it to me again, did you? What's up, man?
I love being on top of each
other. Been just cheating away with each other with these other pods that I have to comment on.
And they weren't pod. The other pods that weren't pods.
You mean
they were
doing our work?
Heartbroken to click the link and see exactly what it was. I just saw the two of you and not me included, and had some feels going on. So.
Well, we wanted that insight where you talk about like today's opening day, for example, and you know, end of January. I think these are key things.
It is. That's the kind of ish I bring to the show.
I love it.
All right. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's get the business real quick out of the way. Two guys, make sure you go. Hit up fantasysixpack.net, become an all-access member. You're going to get access to our award-winning rankings, our cheat sheet, our DFS projections throughout the season. And, of course, big thing is you get direct access to all of us on Discord where you get to ask your custom league questions. And, you know, any DFS stuff, whatever it is, we'll be ready to answer your question for you. And then if you haven't already, you need to do it. It's move your league over to Fantrax. No more playing your leagues in other named places. I'm not going to bash a name of a site, but Fantrax is where it's at. I mean, it's the deepest roster pool of any league out there. It is the most customizable for free. They have some premium features that you can pay for, but honestly, outside of one league that I run, and it's the Fantasy Six Pack series where I've got 12 different divisions and a bunch of other crazy rules. I have not needed to pay for the premium league settings at all. So all of my leagues can run for free on there. It's very nice. And Dab, as you said many times on our top 10 shows, The customer service is impeccable. So If you need help, they will answer your question within, you know, at least a day you know, max. I've never had any issues with that. So that being said, let's jump into the show, and we're going to bring on our guest this week, Mr. Chad Simpson, a writer here for Fantasy Six Pack and one of the hosts at the Palazzo podcast. How's it going, man?
It's going good. It's good to finally be here under the F6P umbrella for the first time. It's a lot better than just being in the chat telling AJ how wrong he is every show.
But you could do that anyway.
I just get to do it faster. I get to do it
to his face.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So
all in good fun. Glad to have you aboard, man. It's awesome.
So I'm trying to type a tweet. I'm a little out of practice with this. Usually I have this done ahead of time, so I hit click and go. Jeez, amateur hour over here. Yeah. I know.
God, Joe. All
right, so let's jump into the I didn't have any big news for this show initially, but last night the big bomb dropped that the O's are going to have a new ownership group. And of course, I couldn't be more excited. Go O's. Finally, bringing in somebody, hopefully bringing in somebody that will spend some money on this team. I mean, look, I don't need Dodgers spending money, although, you know, they're not going to spend any money until 2045 at this point. But
so we think.
Who knows? They'll defer them again. It'll go to like their great great grandchildren. Who knows? But you know, like we've needed an owner in place who is ready to open the checkbook at least a little bit for some of these guys. You know, it's been bad forever, and with this new young crop of talent that we have, that was the biggest fear I had was in 3 years they're all going to walk because we're not going to pay them. I mean, exactly what happened to like Manny Machado, right? I'm blanking on the catcher that we had. And then, like, you know, they traded Gausman for peanuts and he ended up being a phenomenal pitcher. Like, it was just bad after bad after bad. So this is a huge sigh of relief for me. I don't know. What are y'all's takes on this? Who wants to go first? Let's jump in.
I think it's great. I've hated having to deal with the Angelos ownership forever. Pretty sure it's been in existence as long as I've been an O's fan, it feels like. So it's good that it's finally turning over. I believe Cal Ripken is part of this ownership group as well. So that's not surprising to hear.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, he's like the minority group that's part of it. So, but still awesome.
Not surprising to hear. I mean, he does a lot with the Aberdeen, Maryland Ripken Stadium there and the team and everything, and he's just all over the place. He's always around, so him being involved I think will be huge for the team as well. I'm excited, man.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, or just guys just want to move on?
I want to play devil's advocate for one moment. Maybe this is stupid.
Don't ruin it.
This may be the stupidest thing I've ever said on air, but there's a part of me that wonders, since we've heard rumors of Angela selling for about 2 years now, could this have all been planned out in advance to get the team really lean, really rookie heavy, then hand it over to the next group that's going to be able to pay the contracts in the end and just have the team set up for the most successful? Because there's no better team set up for building on what they have than the O's in all of baseball.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, did Angelos do it right?
I if you don't mind, I'm going to just, I have the answer. Yeah. I have the answer for you there. And that's, there's no way he did it right. If he did it right, it's like, you know, my kid actually putting away the dishes correctly. It was a complete luck thing and he didn't do it on purpose to be nice. or he fell asleep for the entire season. There's no way he left that kind of gift. I just, like, you know, like Joe was saying, like, I think you're talking about Matt Wieters, the catcher that they didn't sign that. Okay. It's okay, man.
I was like, that can't be it, though.
Yeah. Like, you know, everything he's done, right? Like with Messina and the like, I mean, it's just, As an Oakland A's fan, like I was talking about, thank God. As an Oakland A's fan, like I told you guys in the pre-show, like I hope we have the same type of experience where we lose a terrible owner and gain somebody, you know, that previously played for the team. We have plenty of great guys like an Eric Chavez or the Giambi brothers. I mean, there's so many people that we'd love to have come back.
You can say go to own it.
Or Tejada, right? Let's bring back who used to be an Oriole.
Yeah. What an MVP with us.
Yeah. I mean, with those tree trunk legs. I mean, the things were anyways. I think you're right. I think the thing is I was so excited about all this young talent for the O's, but I was scared about what the ownership was gonna do with them. That now I can really enjoy it. And that's as a baseball fan, yes, and as a fantasy fan as well. But just to be able to say, okay, this team's not gonna screw this up for the wrong reasons, I'm excited.
Yep.
The other thing I want to caution is new ownership tends to want to put their guys in the front office. Mm-hmm. And I would just caution to be very wary of messing with any of the scouting and development.
Yeah, I would.
That has been a home run.
I would hope
a home run with hiring.
Yeah, I would hope the fact that Ripken's evolved, they'll listen to him and understand that this front office that they have across the board, minor leagues and everything, needs to stay. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, messed with a couple coaches here and there maybe, but like, I wouldn't go touching the GMs and the scouting and stuff like that. It has been so good for so many years, and that's why they're in the position they are. That would be just idiotic to do. It's like, you know, for me, like I'm obviously a Commanders fan too. Like getting rid of Snyder was just the start of the dominoes, right? Everything needed to get cleaned out, and they're doing it. In this case, they don't need to. They just needed to get a better owner in place to have a chance here. So,
yeah.
But all right, let's move on here. AJ, I'm going to let you lead the way here. We're going to try a new way of doing things here this season. Let AJ kind of lead things off, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, downhill, quick. All right, so this show, as Joe mentioned, we are going to look into the rule changes from last year. This is our first topic here. Basically, we want to know what did we learn from these rule changes and what should we take from these changes to apply for our 2024 fantasy baseball season, our rosters and players. Basically, we got three main rule changes that were in effect here. The first one was the bigger bases. We got the pitch clock. We got pitcher disengagements, which is basically... for those who don't know, you get a max of two pickoff attempts prior to the base runner advancing unless you get him out on the third. So let's start off with the bases here.
Can I start? I got a couple of stats I just want to throw out here just to help out the conversation here. So just for everybody's reference here, stolen bases, I mean, this is the obvious, right? Like, how much did stolen bases go up, right? That's probably the number one obvious question for everybody. They went up by quite a bit. So in 2022, we were actually seeing an increase in stolen bases since 2019. But it was like 0.47, then 0.49, then 0.51. 0.72 stolen bases a game. That's a pretty big jump. Total stolen bases, if you want the total numbers here, I believe is 2,486 stolen bases in 2022, 3,503 stolen bases last year. So a pretty significant jump there, right? One of the biggest things to me is the caught stolen rate.
Right. The success rate. Oh my God.
0.18. Which was actually up from the previous year, which was crazy. But I mean, people were just running at such rapid rates, you know, like,
yeah,
so yeah, they were getting caught more. But like, if you did the math on like the actual caught percentage, I'm guessing it's really down. You know, to me, like, I'm kind of on the fence on this one, and that maybe this is where you can kind of dive in. Like, we saw ERAs rise,
right?
But like, and home runs rise. But if you really look at that, like 2022 was such a down year. So yep. 2021 was 4.15 ERA, 1.22 home runs. 2022 was 3.9 and 1.07. And then last year, it jumped back up to 4.26 and 1.21. So, like, it kind of just reverted back to what it was, maybe slightly worse in ERA. But, like, I don't know. Was that pitch clock? Was that a mix of everything? Or was 2022 just, like, a weird year? Like, what do you think?
The ball changing that they did.
That too. We won't get into that. We don't actually know that happens. That's
well, we know some at one point it happened because they admitted to it. And I think they just reverted back to the original ball at some point.
Yeah.
But the pitch clock, like the biggest thing I learned is until proven otherwise, Aaron Nola is no longer a viable upper echelon pitcher. Because he was just destroyed by the pitch clock all year. It just had him completely in shambles.
You know, and I think the thing, too, is if you start breaking it down by month, you see a huge kind of increase for those first couple months where the pitchers are still trying to figure out. And even though there were pitch clock violations, right, they were still trying to – they were getting tired quicker because they were moving faster. They weren't able to take those additional kind of – breaths that they needed to do, and they're breaking down earlier on in games. You started seeing those like the three run thirds where, you know, somebody who is typically making a six inning game, he was making only maybe four or five innings. So you started seeing that uptick, and then I think it started to settle down as well. But just going back to your stolen base thing real quick, Joe, what I thought was really amazing, right? The stolen base success rate was 80.2%, which was the highest ever. And I mean, all you have to do is look no further than Acuna, who had 73 stolen bases, right? Which is since Jose Reyes is 78. And I mean, the fact that he could do that and still, of course, hit 1,000 home runs and everything else. I mean, six players stole 40 or more and 51 players stole 20. I think that's more telling. When you look at the lower end players that are maybe sitting at 10, 12, 15 steals, maybe that are able to get those five more, you start getting more traffic. That, of course, leads to things. But I think, to me, the pitch clock did one thing that, you know, we can sort of correlate. And I talked about it a little bit when I was doing those interviews with the physical therapist, et cetera, was injuries.
Yep.
Yeah, because I think that was the biggest thing. I mean, it wasn't like everybody had Tommy John surgery, right? Like, we were like, everybody's, you know, elbows snapping off. But shoulders and tendons and obliques. Something, you know, suddenly people weren't either able to get the proper warm up, they weren't able to get the proper cool, whatever they did, it was getting rushed what they normally did, especially when, again, second, third time through that lineup. And I think that's where it really started to show.
Do you have the number of injuries by any chance? I'm looking at an article on Fox Sports, it was dated on June 27th, so kind of mid season here. It says there were 167 injury list placements for MLB pitchers through the first 86 days of the season, compared to 183 at the same point in 2022, 218 in 21, and 162 in 2019. So it's actually down. It doesn't feel like that though. But I mean, I wonder what, like, over the course of the season it was like, it ended up just like snowballing so much. Like, I don't have the final season numbers. I can't seem to find them.
Yeah, I can look that up because I know we talked about it during one of our shows. I think it was like during the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. I'll give me a minute. I'll find the thing that I was talking about previously when I did that thing. But yeah. let me find that out.
Let's spin this a little bit in fantasy land. So, like, how are we now drafting differently for fantasy? Like, I don't know, AJ. What are your thoughts on this? Like, now that we know there's steals galore, right?
Yeah. Looking at the rate, and Depp, you had mentioned it. I mean, the rate I'm looking at, basically the caught stealing versus the amount of stolen bases. So again, 2022, you had 811 caught versus only 2486 stolen. So that was like a 32.6% rate that people were getting caught. That dropped down nearly 8 full percent. For last year, yes, the caught stealing went up by 55, but the overall stolen bases went up by 1,100 almost. I mean, that's super telling. You know, guys, like you said, they just weren't afraid to steal. So for me going into this year, I'm definitely not punting steals. I didn't really punt it last year. That was something that I actually tried to focus on it a little more than I typically would, thinking that this was going to be the case, that there was, I mean, I didn't think it was going to be this ridiculous, but I knew there was going to be an uptick in steals. So I did want to try to look for some of these guys that were more like power speed or, some kind of combination that you knew you were going to get speed and on base percentage or higher average, just to throw that in there, especially in my roto and category leagues. Points leagues are a little different, but usually, steals are only a point. And in most of the leagues I played, some of them I played, they're 2 points. So again, those leagues, I'm jumping on guys that I know are going to get me steals, because you're just going to get that many more points. And you get a guy like Acuna, if he's not the first off the board this year, I don't know what's wrong with the people in your league. Or it's a keeper league and he's already owned for somebody else. But in a standard redraft, he should be the first person off the board in every single draft. If he's not, I hope you're second, because then you can get him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we said, I mean, yes, we said discount steals, but I think it was also what we talked about. I think the caveat there, right? I went back on that as well, was the fact that we thought that the upper echelon guys were going to go even higher. Yeah. The Asturias Ruiz, who, still is, I think he's barely batting above 100. At this point, I don't know. He might still be trying to get a hit. But when he gets on base, right, he's stealing. And I think, it's a have and have nots of stolen bases. I do think, though, that, again, you can find a lot more 15, 20 steal guys where before, you were hoping that somebody was going to luck into 5-10. But you're right. Yeah, you need to make sure that you have at least one of those upper echelon guys to kind of create a baseline. How about that? Let me just try a different word there for your team. But yeah, that it was, I think what threw me off too with that whole thing was not so much that, the stolen bases also went up, was just that it just felt like everybody was trying to steal. I mean, it was nuts. It was just like, I swear, like, everybody should have a stolen base each game. It just got to the point. It was just crazy.
I mean, going through the top 10 list, I remember being like, oh, yeah, I mean, he's at least got 5 steals. 1 steal. God, you're such a loser. What's wrong with you?
What's this guy
I don't
doing?
Know, Chad, what's your IL strategy going in handling steals? I mean,
I mostly agree with what AJ said. I wanted to point out one specific guy that kind of exemplified that. Down the stretch, TJ Friedl was one of the most valuable guys to pick up and have, because he gave you a little bit of power, a little bit of speed, great average. Mm-hmm. And those are the guys that you're going to want to stock up on. I know we talked about discounting steals. I think where you discount steals is in the Asturias Ruiz types, the steal-only guys.
Right.
There's
just too much risk. Like the Billy, I think the Billy Hamilton profile is just dead now.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that I noticed,
talking about getting the upper echelon guys, I don't think that's really something to even think about, because you look at first round ADP, who there isn't a steal guy? Like Acuna's gonna steal bases. Julio's gonna steal bases.
Corbin Carroll, Rob
Witt's gonna steal bases.
All these guys.
Like the only one there that I can see looking at ADP, which I just lost the page to, was Freddie Freeman.
Yeah,
Freddie Freeman's not gonna steal
everywhere. but even he stole 23 bases last year. So
yeah.
And then after that,
who saw that
going on at 17? Devers at 19. Even then, they steal some.
Yeah,
you're 100% right.
You're gonna end up with that upper echelon guy. So the focus needs to be in those I don't want to say middle rounds, but the like right at the end of the middle rounds into the late rounds, where you get the guys like TJ Friedel, you get, you know, upside guys, you know, maybe like a Stone Garrett.
Yep.
Real quick, what about pitching? Like, did we see, like, are we thinking that, like, rising ERAs is just going to be, this is now the new norm? Or maybe it reverts back. Maybe they mess with the ball again. Who knows? Yes and no.
You know, some of that, like, some teams had, like, extremely putrid years that kind of really weighed down. Colorado obviously weighs down the ERA every year, and they were particularly bad last year. But you see some profiles are starting to stand out. On the other end, they're going the opposite direction. Joe Ryan really thrived with the pitch clock. All the Rays before their injuries.
Yeah.
So I think we're always, no matter what the rules are, unless something really drastic changes, we're always going to bounce in that like 4.1 to 4.35 range.
Yeah, I think the big thing with the ERA, I don't think we necessarily need to get too hung up on it. It did seem like last year everybody's ERA was way the hell up. But it's sitting at 4.33. Over the year between all 30 teams, and then 22 wasn't that much better. It was just under 4, 3.96. But the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years prior to that, you got to go all the way back to 2015 before it dropped back below 4. And 2019 and 2020, obviously the shortened year, so that plays into it a little bit. But both of those were up over 4.4. So, you know, I don't think I'm going to get too hung up on that. And I will say to your comment from earlier, Chad, Nola, I agree. He was absolute trash last year until like that last month. He finally, and it wasn't even really the last month. It was like the last
four one of his starts.
Yeah. He kind of
six-inning four-run starts, you know.
Yeah. He tweaked some things and he got better and got right going into the playoff. Obviously it didn't matter because they didn't even get to the World Series since they choked in the CS, but I don't want to talk about that. So I think I'm not going to worry too much about ERA. I'm still going to go after guys that are high K guys, and efficient pitchers. I do think the pitch clock messed a lot of people up. Nola was a prime example of it. It's just, you know, baseball players in general are creatures of habit, pitchers especially. They are used to these kicks and whatever. Not to drone on about the Phillies again, but Craig Kimbrel, obviously on the very downside of his career, you know, almost over, he was okay getting saves and whatnot, but he was the absolute worst to watch with the pitch clock because of his little goofy, like, my arm's broken but it's not, I'm just gonna hold it here like there's a ghost bench under it. He got banged on the pitch clock so many freaking times and it was so annoying to watch. It's just like, dude, figure it the hell out, like, come on.
Yeah, but I, not to harp on the pitch clock, but I didn't expect it to hurt hitters as much as it did. I mean, most of the times it looked like those hitters were stepping out and they didn't know they weren't supposed to step out. They had to keep a foot in, and it just, with some of the struggles, especially that first month and a half, I was like, wow, I don't know if it's pitchers or hitters are having a bigger problem with that for sure.
Umps, like, we talked about it last year too. Like, umps never really gave a break. Like, when there was like a standing ovation or something, like, you know, players would be like, you know, hey, what's up? And then it'd be like, I have a strike. What? I was like, what do you want me to do?
Like, oh, God.
Unbelievably wrong in situations for the day.
Who returned? I forgot, and they gave him a strike. He like is his first game back to his previous team. I'm trying to remember the darn player now, and the freaking ump gave him a strike. Oh my God. I'm about to look it up now.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I do want to point out it's not so much a rule change, but I do think it played a factor in the ERA situation.
I want to say it was Bellinger Dap.
Yep, that's it. It was Bellinger. You're right, 100%.
But it's the schedule changing.
Yeah.
And the way they play divisional and everything.
Right, yes.
The familiarity impacts pitchers and hitters a lot, and that could lead to hitters getting better looks.
Yeah.
And so I think that played a nice little role in kind of easing off the ERA a bit that doesn't get talked about as much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point because now they have every team plays every other team. Instead of just a few random, you know, one division from the other side and like a couple random weekend series or something. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and jump into the off-season transactions here. Basically, you know, we have trades, we have signings. We just want to go through and kind of highlight some of the bigger ones and just let's talk a little background on it. So, of course, we have to start with the Dodgers, who are dodgering away per usual. They have spent more money than
the U.S.
I don't, yeah, than a ton of billionaires combined would be happy to be rolling around in right now. Ohtani, we got Yamamoto. We got Tyler Glasnow. We got Teoscar Hernandez. Just some of the names from their offseason. So, Chad, let's start with you. What are your thoughts on the Ohtani deal? Obviously, I don't even remember what the number is. A butt ton of money that's deferred.
$700 million
a year, I believe.
And I, by the way, just real quick before we do that, Chad, I apologize. I called 700 million. I said 700, 750 million on this show over the last year. So I just want to shout out to me.
Dab's doing the pat on the back. There you go.
I'm wrong so often for me to be right. I was so excited. Sorry, Chad.
Overjoyed.
The Shohei situation is a really tough one for me to evaluate, and it would be this way wherever he went, because I'm not sure where he got, unless he ended up in Kansas City, which wasn't like that bad of a ballpark.
The state of Kansas has that much money on its payroll for people that live there, but
he's never really had issues with driving in guys, even as bad as the Angels could be at times. I do think that obviously will rise because that is the most ridiculous roster of talent since what, 50s Yankees?
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
sure.
I just love
where I get concerned and where I've seen Shohei in dynasty rankings is the pitching, because we don't know what he's going to look like. I'm not too concerned that he will look bad, and I've dinged all of Dodgers pitchers for this reason. They're going to the six-man rotation this year. And honestly, if they somehow get Kershaw back or something, they might even go to a seven-man rotation. I think that might stick beyond this year. Because they have so many pitchers. And they got more coming. You got, well, you know.
We say it all the time on this show. The Dodgers, Dodger. Like, it Dodgering. Like, it. They'll just be like, he hurt his finger yesterday. He's going to go in the IL for 2 weeks so we can use his other guy. Like, it happens all the time. They're definitely going to do it with Ohtani with the amount of money he's making.
But with that many people involved, and especially when you hit a six-man rotation, my brain instantly thinks, what happens if he's the odd man out come playoff week?
Yeah.
Could be
weekly head-to-heads. Absolutely.
You just have your best pitcher not pitch. It's him and Yamamoto.
The problem with that is, like, so here's the thing with Ohtani. The one thing that could keep him in the rotation, like, they won't injure list him, right? Is
they'll just
because they're gonna want his bat. They'll just skip his start, possibly. But it doesn't necessarily like let them bring another person up. You know what I mean? But yeah, if they've got six guys on the rotation, then that's gonna change things anyway. But
and obviously this changes based on what website you're on, mm-hmm. which is why you should play on FanTracks for
example. Yes. He could be one nudge, player. Nudge. You can make him two there if you really want to, but yeah, have fun with that.
I think ESPN's two for is both versions.
I don't know. I only play on FanTrax, I'm not gonna lie.
So, Yahoo is still
split. This is not just me trying to promote them. It's the truth. Yeah. I only play on FanTrax.
Yeah. I moved Yahoo's still off. Not only is Yahoo still split. Not to go off on a tangent, but it's my favorite story last year. When Ben Joyce got called up, they changed him into a completely different player for some reason. Like, he was in there as Ben Joyce. I think he was as an SP. That was his guy. It was the right guy. They added a Ben Joyce reliever, still gave the stats to the starter instead.
Huh. Alrighty.
It took him a month to fix it. Because they play around with splitting players instead of just having multiple positions. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And that site needs to either figure their bleep out or go the way of Fox.
I think
please don't hold back. I feel like you're holding back.
I've been fighting with them for years.
This is an underlying.
And the funny part, it didn't even start with Shohei, because this was at a time Shohei wasn't like I picked up Shohei batter off of waivers. That's how down people were on Shohei at the time. It was about Brendan McKay of all people. I was so angry that I had to roster two versions of this guy who was hurt.
It's makes no sense.
Yeah, so my quick thoughts about Ohtani, obviously he's going to be fine. You're not going to get him for pitching this year. Is he worth the money? I don't know. Probably not.
I mean, that's the thing, though.
Okay, you're not
getting him for pitching. Are you? Where are you drafting him then?
All right, but let real quick, if we're going to talk about the financial aspect of this, right? First off, they get all the marketing, the, you know, Asia money, right? You know, obviously LA is, you know, has an amazing rich Asian culture, you know, they have Japanese. There's going to be so much marketing money there. It's ridiculous. And LA is going to just love that. So he's going to pay back just in the marketing dollars alone, just through the roof. But on top of that, I mean, he's going to pitch at some point. The thing is that I've done something stupid. I thought these upper echelon guys were human to some degree. I thought Bryce Harper was going to take a while to recover. Nope. He apparently doesn't care about that. I think Ohtani's going to come back and he's going to just show that he's not a human being. I mean, this is what it comes down to. I would love to be able to tell you and sit here with a doctor and be like, yeah, well, you know, he's impossible. He'll never throw the ball again. But he's shown us time and time again. I'm not trying to super fan you. I'm just being honest. I can't figure out Ohtani to save my life. You know, in the sense that he's going to do something ridiculous again. He's a freak. That's what it comes down to.
No doubt.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to,
just one quick note. Yeah. And there's also, even if he's the starting doesn't work well, there's still the path that he could close instead.
Oh, true. Yeah. Absolutely.
Fascinating to watch.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I've
seen him do it to Mike Trout.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Yamamoto, they also got 12 years, $325 million, not deferred. Teoscar is only a one-year deal for $23.5 million. The Glasnow and Manny Margot was a trade that basically they got from Tampa, and they gave up Ryan Pepio and Johnny DeLuca. So, anything there that anybody wants to touch on, or are we good to?
I want to touch on Ryan Pepio because, okay.
Yep,
even on the Dodgers, I had him creeping the top 25.
Yeah,
he may end up in the top five by the end of the year for me at SP.
Absolutely.
You look at his Baseball Savant page, it is maxed out right in all the perfect categories to be a Rays pitcher.
Absolutely.
He was phenomenal for me in my one league that I had him is SP.
Like
five and two relief reavers. It's not like just pitchers. So I threw him in an SP slot and just sat him there. And I never got dinged for starts, you know, unless he was officially the starter. But most of it, he was just middle relief. He'd come in, be the dodgering Dodger, and he was awesome. I love him this year. I think he's going to be a stud, especially going to Tampa when he's, you know, we've seen what they do with pitchers. It's phenomenal down there.
This really feels like one of those Rays deals where we look back and like,
yep,
oh my God, they absolutely, because I love Johnny DeLuca too. I mean, it wasn't the greatest debut for him.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, he was really rising among people I go to for prospect data. And again, Tampa just has their way with guys. So,
yeah.
And Glasnow is, I mean, we know what Glasnow is.
Yeah.
And the great thing about that seven-man rotation that you're talking about, or 12-man rotation, Chad, is the fact that, you know, with Glasnow, they can, you know, basically put him on ice for 3 months and they can absolutely be fine. You know, where the Rays couldn't. I mean, yes, they could still pull up people, but they can't pay Glasnow price and still allow him to kind of, you know, have that built-in IL stint. I think this is one of those trades that when it happened, I was like, that makes sense. Both sides. It made absolute sense from the philosophy that both teams have, where they are and what they can do with payroll and everything. It just made complete sense. And like Chad said, I mean, I couldn't be happier for I need to drink more coffee, you know, to land with the Rays, because I have a lot of Dynasty AL only leagues, and I am so happy about that.
Nice. I want to mention something about Tyler Glasnow.
Sorry, go.
Sorry, what did you say?
The part of the trade I don't get is Margot, because now they brought in Teoscar. They kept Jason Hayward around.
I think that was to make the money work. If I remember correctly, right? Because
but they've kept him.
It was
around
also before they were able to secure Hernandez. So I do want to mention Teoscar a little bit. Like, I've always been a fan of his, especially for fantasy. You know, kind of a cheap source of power. Didn't crush you in the batting average. Am I weird to like kind of be worried about this move for him, because he's going to bat so far down in that lineup? And yes, it is a stacked lineup, so opportunities galore, right? To hit batters in. But when you're getting like 100 less plate appearances because you're now batting seventh or eighth in a lineup as opposed to fourth or third, that's a big difference in a, like, over the course of the season. It's weird though, because he moves from Seattle, which is a tough ballpark to hit in, to LA. And so, like, the favorable ballpark. So, like, it might just kind of go neutral for him, even though he loses. It's just a tough one to kind of figure out. Like, I'm looking at projections, and they're kind of right there with me on it. Is like, to where all the stats might be about the same, like the counting stats, home runs, runs, RBI, batting average, obviously around the same, but way less plate appearances. So it might just be, you know, the ballpark kind of helps him out. And who knows? Maybe he bats himself up in that lineup, and it's going to be hard. Like, who's there?
I mean, Hernandez is definitely the one that's, you're kind of like, yeah, he doesn't really fit, you know, in that lineup. You know, his OPS plus is just above average, right at 106. But he mashes left-handers, and, you know, he might figure out that he has just, you know, that kind of role as a left-handed masher, which, you know, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either. I mean, considering he, you know, strikes out at such a high clip. But, you know, I think what we learned this last year is you can't have enough talent on your roster, considering all of the injuries. If that continues, they're just going to be smart to have a Teoscar. And
LA's one weakness was outfield last year.
Yeah.
They struggled.
Yeah.
They had to go figure it out.
And I'm not saying Hernandez is a bench bat. Don't get me wrong. But at the makeup of their roster, it doesn't make sense. You're right. But I just don't, I don't see him playing beyond left-handed hitters if everything shakes out the way it does. But again, I think it's a smart move for considering what they're paying.
I do think on some rest days he'll work his way into a leadoff role, weirdly enough, in that lineup. Just because it'll fit the, depending on who's resting, it'll fit better to have him up top.
You'd have to rest Otani, Betts, and Freeman in order for that to happen. I don't that'd be one hell of a rest day.
Well, I honestly think they'd rather lead him off than Freddie if one of the other two were resting.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. All right. All right. Moving on to the Yankees. They got two trades and a free agent signing here. We got Alex Verdugo traded from Boston for Greg Weissert. I'm just going to say it because I wrote it down. Dick Fitz and Nick Giudice, all pitchers. Richard Fitz is his name, and I just had to have some fun with it because why not?
Of course you did.
That is a horrible. His parents must not like him very much. The bigger name here is Juan Soto, Trent Grisham, traded from the Whale's Vagina for a bunch of young arms and a catcher, and then you got Marcus Stroman, who signed for 2 years, $37 million, with a 2026 vesting option. With if he hits 140 innings pitched in 2025, Joseph, we'll start with you. Talk to me about here. What do you like about Dick Fitz?
I'm out. What'd you got?
I mean, Juan Soto. My bad.
All right. Yeah, you know, I mean, we talked about this a little bit in the top 10 outfield preview here. Soto's going to be Juan Soto. Like, I don't think we're really going to see the 2019 version of Juan Soto anymore. And, you know, it's weird to say, like, you know, his OBP's been dropping every year. The batting average isn't quite, like, super elite anymore. I don't know if there's just something that's been figured out with him, but he's still a phenomenal player. If Aaron Judge can stay healthy, I think that is one of the best duos, if not the best duo in baseball. It's going to be nasty. It's going to help out Aaron Judge tremendously. It was one thing we talked about in that same top 10 outfield preview or rankings list as well, that pitchers just were like, okay, go chase this because we're not pitching to you, Aaron Judge, because we know nobody else on the team can hit the ball, right? So, like, now they can't do that with you know, he's got protection, so that's gonna help. You know, and it's a, you know, still a good ballpark for Soto. So, yeah, Soto's gonna be fine. He's still gonna be an elite player. But you know, I think last year's stats maybe a tick more. In like runs and RBI, but I mean, you're talking already an elite player, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he played in every game last year, 35 bombs, 109 ribbies, 12 stolen bases to throw in there. So,
yeah, I mean, he plays, he's very, because he's reliable. He's so there you go. That's a huge bonus for fantasy, right? Be there for me.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dap, what are your thoughts on any of these guys?
I mean, I'm not gonna rehash the Juan Soto stuff. I think enough's been said about him. And you know, I think my thing is with Stroman and also Cody Morris, right? So Esteban Florial that they've had on top five of the New York Yankees prospect list for forever, right? They flipped them for Morris to the Guardians. You know, the thing is that they need pitching depth. We saw with all the injuries that they had last year that they didn't have much, and they had a bunch of old guys that just could not kind of get it done. I mean, Stroman was great for the Cubs, but he is 32. You know, so what are we doing here? And Morris could low key be, you know, again, from a fantasy perspective, you know, could be a fifth starter, fourth starter, somebody that you might want to grab with that last pick, that second last pick. He got absolutely lit up with the Guardians. But, you know, maybe the Yankees kind of saw something there as well, because they didn't trade, you know, Esteban for nothing, right? I mean, there's some underlying numbers there that are pretty interesting. I'm just, again, trying to find something there that maybe isn't as obvious for everybody else as well. The other piece here, too, that I thought was kind of interesting also with this Trent Grisham, again, just he's a... His numbers are kind of very extreme in some places, but I'd like, with the injuries that they had in the outfield, there's definitely going to be some times where he's playing a lot more. Mm-hmm. Again, he's going to be another person that really be interested in. But again, from just a why not, I'd definitely grab Cody Morris in that kind of that last pick, depending how deep your league is. If you want to try to get like a cheap starting pitcher, I definitely think he might break camp as a low leverage arm, you know, bulk reliever, and then he might actually be in the rotation before the mid-season.
All right. Chad, you got anything to add on any of these guys?
Two things. One, I don't think there's a single ballpark that's ever existed that is more built for Juan Soto than Yankee Stadium.
So true. So true. Yeah.
And I also think people look at his overall numbers from the last couple of years and like, well, he's on the downtrend, and they forget just how split his seasons have been, where he starts off really ugly and we're like, oh, Juan Soto's toast. And then he's like the best player in baseball the rest of the way. If he doesn't have that slow start this year, he's going to outperform Acuna with that ballpark.
Yeah.
He might not have the stolen bases, but the other counting stats will be ahead of Acuna. But the part I want to talk about, because I do this every single year, I did it with Harrison Bader, but I'm not going to do it this year. I am not going to get sucked in and think Verdugo or Grisham are going to finally be something just because they're out there in that Yankees outfield.
Right.
Every year in that exact spot in the outfield, we're like, that guy is going to be the sneaky value pick because he's going to tap into all these little bits and pieces we've seen over the years, and it just never happens. Not once.
Benintendi comes to mind.
Exactly. It hasn't happened. Not even like even late stage Brett Gardner, it stopped happening.
Yeah.
Oh man.
All right. Let's move it into the Braves. Here is the next big team. Not a lot of like sexy moves here.
Don't do it.
They've made a handful.
Don't talk bad about the Braves, man. Not because I'm a fan of it, but man, low key, they scare the heck out of me.
They're a good team. I know that. But once they get to the playoffs, they just run into, I don't know, the buzzsaw known as the Philadelphia Phillies, and they can't go anywhere. So
yeah, that's true.
We'll see if that happens again.
But luckily, fantasy ends for most of us at the playoffs. Yes, so yeah, right.
So the two that we highlighted here are Jared Kelenic and Marco Gonzalez and Evan White and Cash, all traded from the Mariners, and then Chris Sale. I don't even know why this guy's still playing, but somehow he managed to get $17 million. So good for him. The bigger name to me in that deal was that they gave up Vaughn Grisham to Boston. So Dap, go ahead and start us off. That's just the two that we highlighted here. So
but okay, let's take a step back for a second. Let's forget about the players that got traded. The transactions that need to be highlighted for the Braves is their stupidly low contracts that they're signing people for. None of this deferred money silliness with the Dodgers. Like, they legitimately get people to just sign these crazy contracts that, I mean, let's see, I think 8 years, Cunha gets paid about $100 million. You know, I can't even remember now. I think Ozzie Albies gets about $35 million over a 6-year period. And then it's just nuts. So regardless of what happens, they're probably going to sign another guy for, you know, while the Dodgers are going to probably sign somebody for like $200 million and then defer it for 60 years, the Braves are going to be like, cool, we'll sign you to $10 million over 10 years. I mean, it's just nuts. So sorry, quick rant. But yeah, I mean, Chris Sale, look, if he would have signed with anybody but the Dodgers or the Braves, I would have been like, no. But obviously, they saw something in them. And for $38 million for an $18 million club option for that 26th year, the third year, that just tells me that they think there's something there. I mean, again, it's the Braves, but yes, were they terrible a little bit this year and they did not look like the Braves? Absolutely, on some of these picks. But the other part too with Ronaldo Lopez, right? He just screams to me like a Braves recovery story, right? They have Aaron Bummer, who is this great ground ball pitcher that they picked up, and then they get Lopez, and it just, I don't know, it just screams like a guy's going to go 10-4 with like a 3.9 ERA or something, but like have like 160 because they add a cutter or something silly. Yeah. It's just the guy that I'm looking at Lopez, you know, one of my last arms that I'm going to grab type of thing because of it just makes too much sense. Sale, I'm not touching with a 10-foot pole, but I definitely could see why people would do it. And it, again, from a real world perspective, all day makes complete sense. But I wouldn't touch it with fantasy because I don't know how much he's going to play. And there's other things I'd rather pick up. And there's going to be somebody who's picked him up way too early.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, you get enticed by the name and you're like, oh man, bounce back. No, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I misspoke on that. It was Chris Sale plus 17 million. It wasn't with a 17 million deal. So Boston gave them 17 million along with dead arm Chris Sale. To be determined, I guess. So Chad, anything on these guys or can we jump on over?
I'm not as down on Chris Sale as everyone else. I think he had a fine year considering how much of a dumpster fire the Red Sox are.
Right.
Like, I think that gets lost a little bit. I'm not saying Sale is going to go out and be White Sox Chris Sale, but hey, maybe the Braves just need a pair of scissors for that championship banner.
Yeah, possibly.
Right.
So, all right. The next couple of teams here, we just got a couple names. So I'll rip through these real quick since we're running long on time. The Brewers signed Rhys Hoskins the other day. The Astros signed Josh Hader. The Giants finally making a splash, getting Robbie Ray, and then the Red Sox picked up Giolito and Tyler O'Neill. So, Chad, I'll start with you. Any, you know, one of these guys, pick a guy that you want to highlight here.
We'll talk about a different Giants guy that was left. Was them signing Jung-Hoo Lee?
Yeah.
After missing out on Yamamoto and Imanaga. They really need to make a big splash, especially after
signed Hicks, Jordan Hicks.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second. What is the fascination? Because it wasn't just the Giants that did this. Every team that was involved in him was supposedly going to do this. What is the fascination with making Jordan Hicks a starter? Is it just that chat, like trying to get rookie Chapman factor?
Yeah, I think so. I don't get it either. It's like just leave him at the back. That's where he belongs. It's what he's excelled at. Just stop doing this. Stop trying to make fetch a thing. Okay.
But Jung-Hoo Lee, I think he's a phenomenal player. I think he's a perfect power speed blend. I think he's gonna be great. But more importantly, the Giants were devoid of someone they could say that's our guy. Like after Posey, it was like Yaz, and Yaz isn't anything special.
Yaz,
like, that can't be the face of your franchise. Lee, at his young age, can be the face of the franchise, along with Logan Webb and Kyle Harrison. And that kind of, especially after what happened last offseason with Correa, they needed this. So more than fantasy baseball, they needed for the fans, for the marketing. Just like what happened with Shohei. Yeah. They need that. And that's a great signing for them. And then the Hoskins one, I love Hoskins. Mm-hmm. I was really sad to lose him last year because he's one of my favorite targets in fantasy.
Yeah.
I hate the Brewers. I think they're devoid of talent offensively. I think Yelich carried that team for quite a long time. I don't know what Hoskins has left in the tank coming off that injury at his age.
Yeah, and I mean, the nice thing is that it's a two-year contract, 34 mil, and he's got an opt-out after this year. So this was kind of what I expected for Hoskins if he wasn't going to sign with Philly. I mean, really, they don't have a place for him as much as I hate it. He can't play in the outfield. His defense is atrocious. Not even that great at first base. But he's a great clubhouse guy. He's a solid fantasy, play. He is streaky. He will be, consistently inconsistent at times, but he can get you good counting stats when he goes on those runs. And Milwaukee's a good park for hitters, I believe. With him there, it's gonna, I think he's gonna do some damage there. But I am interested to see exactly how much right off the start. There was potential for him if the Phillies did make the World Series, they would have potentially put him on the roster. So I think he's ready to come back, but remains to be seen. Dap anybody
for Hader, I just as a Brian Abreu fan, screw you, Houston. Screw you.
Yeah, so a couple of names here that aren't the obvious ones that you're talking about there, but I think Arizona Diamondbacks did amazing with two of their picks, right? Eduardo Rodriguez is absolutely a mid-rotation arm, and they need that, right? After Gallen, after Kelly, after Fott, they need somebody to get innings, especially considering they need to have some buffer if Fott is going to be Fott of the beginning of the year versus Fott later on in the season. Who are they going to get, right? And for him to kind of have that chance to do what he needs to do and have, Rodriguez's numbers last year, don't look at them, fantasy people, and say, oh, he's going to get 3.3, ERA. His numbers, underlying numbers, his underlining peripherals showed something completely different, right? He was really hittable, and he got very lucky kind of in the Detroit Tigers cavernous ballpark. But I think that you're dealing with a really great defense behind him. He's going to have a lot of ability to show that, he can get things done. And more importantly, you saw what Arizona can do. And you have Corbin Carroll. You have a whole great, kind of offense behind him. And you're going to have another bat as well with Lourdes Gurriel, who I think, again, is another person that's just going to be phenomenal for this team. They just kind of need that other bat as opposed to just being like, hey, Corbin Carroll, just do everything you need to do. 3 years of $42 million, I think, is just perfect kind of. If I were to think of the number for him, right, I was thinking 350, 340. 342 is perfect. And he could, be that full-time DH, maybe play in the field if he still can. But again, I think those two signings are phenomenal. The other one, too, is Jameer Candelario for Cincinnati. He came over from the Cubs and to allow...
Because they needed more third base, first base types, right?
Well, I mean, again, you have a bunch of young guys who are going to now have a full season in a ballpark that's just phenomenal for any bat, right? You bunt in and it goes out of the park. But for them to have the ability now to have Jameer come in, who hit 251, 336, 471 with 22 home runs last year. I mean, is he going to mentor some of the young guys? Sure. Is he going to, see something? I mean, I think there's just that having that veteran kind of corner presence with all that young talent, I think it's just a great piece as well. If you want to talk about things that I don't understand, it's the Pirates, of course. But, I made fun of them last year and look what they did in the first couple months. I mean, everybody old that's out there, they seem to be wanting to sign. If you're, if you're past your prime, they want every part of you. Martin Perez, Andrew McCutchen, I mean, we all expected that. But Marco Gonzalez from the Mariners, I mean, Perez and Gonzalez should be twins from all aspects, right? These guys that throw soft are hit hard typically, but somehow the ball stays in the park. Somehow they get strikeouts. I don't understand it. And then, of course, Chapman. It sounds to me like a fun clubhouse, but heaven help you if you think that's going to get many wins.
I disagree quite a bit on that. Maybe not really? So much on Marco Gonzalez.
Okay, which one there? With Chapman and his... Martin
Perez specifically.
Martin Perez? Are you kidding me?
I was actually going to say, when you were talking about Eduardo Rodriguez, that he's a Martin Perez. He's someone that's going to give you between a 3 and 4.3 ERA, and he's going to eat a ton of innings. And with all their injuries,
okay,
with all their young pitching, it's what they need more than anything. And it costs them almost nothing to do.
I get the cost nothing. I get the obviously the veteran presence, but you know my concern there is right. Like even the you know the Rangers were using him in like mid relief there towards the end of the season. You know whether or not that'd be injury or something else. I'm just wondering like you know he put look Eduardo Rodriguez is not an ace by any means. Don't get me wrong, but you know Perez will put up some stink bombs there or put a couple in a row, well, and that was one
a year removed from one of the most dominant runs of any pitcher they yep. had in 2022.
Absolutely, and then if you look at his underlying stats, he also saw how lucky he was to have yes. most of those things, right? And he
was put him as like an average pitcher, which is what they need.
You see that 5.91 K per nine rate, man.
That's, exactly.
That's
the right ballpark bad. For that, though.
Yeah, that's yeah. fine.
And they want to compete is the big thing. Like everything I hear is ownership thinks they can be a wild card, and they should, considering how good they looked to start last year.
Look, if some of these guys, you know, take their Viagra and they're able to stay on, healthy, I'm all for it. Look, I thought the Pirates were one of the best feel good stories. I love watching, you know, small market teams yeah. that everybody gives up on kill it, especially McCutcheon, man. He looks so freaking happy to kind of be doing that at home.
He had a great start to the season, man. He was yeah. basketball in fantasy.
And worst case scenario with Chapman, you get what you did last year in Kansas City.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out. And you have a trade chip that's every team will want that's in the playoff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And
absolutely.
That's but, you know, what these teams do. They're looking to sign veteran guys who they know they can't, you know, their future won't build around them because they're, you know, they'll be done soon. And I look at the Boston Red Sox, right? And I'm thinking that's kind of what they're doing. Not that Tyler O'Neill's old, right? But they signed him to a 1-year, $5.8 million contract,
yeah.
right?
The show me contract, yeah.
This is a show me contract for O'Neill. But two, like this is a, if he just blows up, they are trading him for whatever they can get. Because there is no chance he's re-signs with them. Right.
Right.
You know, he's been bad the last two seasons, right?
Yeah.
They need him to at least be two-thirds of what he was in 2021, where he hit 34 bombs at 286. I don't know if he's that guy anymore, but right. You know, they're hoping he is. Giolito, kind of the same deal. They did sign him to a 2-year deal, but it's only 38 mil total. He'll
be a brand out. By mid-season.
He can opt out after this year, though. So like it's not a guarantee that he's even gonna stick around. Again, he's another one of those like you know, probably gone at mid-season. Man, I feel for Devers, man. I don't know. they're just not helping this guy out. I don't really know what they're doing.
Be the next Trout. Stay loyal to a team that just ruins your life.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, you know, with those two guys, I mean, they're going to be rosterable probably in fantasy at some point. O'Neill's probably a little bit more of a wait and see. He'll get drafted just based off the name alone and the AL East. But Giolito will be picked up. He's still a solid pitcher. He's just got to get that ERA back down. But, you know, I think the potential is still there for him. It's a tough division, though. So he's going to have to face a lot of tough teams pretty yeah. often. So,
all right.
Close so, things up here, AJ.
Yeah, last thing we got here is basically just some of the names that are out there are still available.
Boras bunch.
Yeah, I'm not going to rip through all these names because there's a lot that are here, but a couple of the ones highlighted we had were CJ Krohn, and we got catcher, I guess.
Like Joey Votto
is the best one. Yeah, you got Joey Votto, Luke Voit.
Yeah.
Hosmer has been tossed around for me. Second base, Whit Merrifield, and Jonathan Scope, maybe. Third base, not really anything there. Old man Longoria, Eduardo Escobar, shortstop Tim Anderson,
Dave Eddie's favorite player, Tim Anderson.
Yeah,
Dave, if you're listening, I still hate you for that one.
Is Anderson a Boraska? I assume he is. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Oh, I don't know.
Because that's the only reason I mean, yeah, he's been brutal, but like there's got to be a deal out there for him that should have come together otherwise.
After last year, is there? Are we sure?
Yeah, I don't know. Outfielders, we got Cody Bellinger is really the biggest name there. Tommy Pham, you know, kind of a role player guy now. Randall Grichuk and Aaron Hicks had a nice bounce back year last year with the O's. Very solid.
Hicks already signed.
Oh, he did sign. Okay.
I mean, he meant to tell Joe that when he came with this
sheet. Yeah, yeah.
Rosario's kind of interesting.
Yeah, Rosario could be interesting.
I think Rosario's great. One name that I don't think is going to blow up on any kind of stat sheet, if or you know, unless you're a Chicago White Sox fan, but I think Eric Freddy or Fred, he signed to a 2-year, $15 million contract. The reason why I bring him up is because he won the MVP award and in Korean baseball this past year. He changed up his pitch mix. He went to driveline, did a whole bunch of different things, and I'm putting that as a flag for fantasy owners, because when we see people A, go to driveline, and B, of course, change the pitch mix, figure something out in a different league, and then come back, especially get 2 for $15. That's a pretty serious investment. I think there's something really kind of interesting there that might be a bargain grab for you if you want to grab Eric Fried. FEDDE. Just wanted to make sure that was a highlighted transaction that we could help
I agree with that. He'd always been like right on the cusp of being a streamer before when I believe he was with the Nationals, correct?
Right, yeah. That's correct, yep.
Here's the problem with it, and you said it right off the bat. What team signed him?
The White Sox.
Is there a team more apt to ruining players?
Yeah, good point. The
Chicago White Sox.
You mean they didn't prove it with Giolito? How they they turned him into the
greatest hitter in baseball history?
Demand
Yermin Mercedes, the single greatest performance in baseball history, and a drunk manager who should have been in a nursing home ruined him.
Wow, tell us how you really feel.
We're talking about Viagra and Dick Fitzgerald.
We hope you're doing well.
Yes.
He actually bounced back. I think it was with San Francisco a year or two ago for a brief bit, and I thought, here we go again, and it fell off. But
yeah. So DH, we got JD Martinez, Soler, and Vogelbach. Starting pitchers, Clevenger, maybe if he can get back to normal ish. You know, Jordan Montgomery, I think, is probably the most, overall consistent guy on this list. You know, Kershaw is there, but he's old. He's going to go back to the Dodgers for another 1-year contract, probably. Julio Urias, you don't know what's going on there. Oh, Blake Snell, sorry. That's the biggest name there.
Yes.
And Brandon Woodruff.
Future Yankee, Blake Snell.
Both of those guys should be signed.
Woodruff's not pitching this year.
He's out.
So that's going to be interesting. Like, what does he – what kind of contract does he take?
I'm surprised he can get one of those 2-year deals.
I could see him getting
like a player of his caliber usually gets when they're out for the year.
Yeah.
Like – show me deal with an opt out.
It sounds like maybe he wants to try and get like a end of season deal on a playoff team, maybe. Like he still thinks he can pitch this year.
That's rough. So
Clevenger, I'm gonna say it right now, from everything I've talked to from people who know people in the industry, he's gotta be going overseas. The personality, the issues behind the scenes, there's not a team that's gonna pay him the money he wants.
Yeah.
And Arias might be the same. Unfortunately.
Well,
which is why Urias was one of the biggest losers in a long time for free agency, because he was the option after Shohei and Yamamoto originally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
to me, Soler screams like a Red Sox or Rays pickup. He just screams like he's gonna be in the Rays, like, you know, for like fourth outfielder. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Nobody here. I mean, Anthony Bass, Boxberger, Brad Hand, and Liam Hendricks. So
Liam Hendricks. I mean, that's a great band name.
Yeah. He's kind of the I mean, I feel that so group, bad. He's the one that intrigues me. I don't know why, but
because he's always good. He's just everything he's gone through, the cancer, then getting hurt immediately, and then cancer, and then getting hurt. It's just brutal.
Yeah. So, all right.
Well, what about, before you wrap up, just real quick, Matt Chapman, because, you know, old days, right? Amazing glove. Do you not think he gets picked up somewhere? I mean, he's not that far removed from being, you know, a guy.
He's got to be picked up somewhere.
I've heard Cubs rumblings. I've heard
Giants rumblings. Yeah. I was thinking,
as soon as those kind of teams see what they have out of, like, I'm sure, I don't know if the Cubs announced if Shaw is going to be invited to spring training.
Okay.
But, like, once they see what they have in their, like, first guys up at those positions, and they're like, yeah, this isn't the answer, then they're going to go talk to Chapman, like, week two of spring training.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Katie's one I can't figure out, because I don't know if it's a money issue or what, but the bat isn't going away, apparently, so why is he not signed?
TBD. So,
yep.
All right. Well, that is it for the show. Chad, want to thank you for coming on, man. Go ahead and promote your stuff and let us know what's going on with you, man.
Yeah, you can check me out here at the Fantasy Six Pack doing baseball content. You can catch me during football season over at QB List. And you can catch me daily at the Palazzo Podcast. That's 2 L's, 2 Z's, with my sensei of this world, Michael Govier.
All right.
And make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Six Pack series before Joe closes on us.
Yep.
Because I need more competition.
I'll be doing a big push here starting in February. Been a little busy, but we've already got about 80 people in there, so we'll get there.
I'm AJ, hoping for a big turnout because of all the stuff with the NFBC.
Yeah,
that more people are going to have time because they won't have all their leagues.
Maybe we'll see. All right, Chad. Well, thank you for jumping on, man. We're going to close out the show, but we'll have to do it again soon, man.
Yeah, it was a fun one, guys.
All right. See you. Thanks, Chad. Good night.
Alrighty, guys, that's it for the show. Had a good time. Next week we're bringing on good friend of the show, Mr. Chris Blessing, to talk about prospects. So Dap, you and Chris can talk while me and AJ sit here and watch and have fun.
So excited. I'm not gonna be able to sleep for a whole week.
like Christmas for you.
only second to when Curlin comes on the show.
That's like right before the season starts.
Can't wait.
We're making you wait. You're bestie.
Yeah.
All right, man. So, again, hit that subscribe button, hit the like button, jump over and become an All Access member, and enjoy the tools that we've got there for you, Fantasy Six Pack. Thanks again for tuning in, guys, and we will see you all next time.
Next Thursday. Back to normal.
Night. Yes, back to normal on Thursday. Correct. Bye. We'll be right back.